Whew. Take a deep breath there for a moment. Spirit is alive and well this morning. Amen. Our passage for today's sermon meditation comes from John 14, chapter 14, verses 22 through 24. John 14, 22 through 24. Take your version of Scripture, whatever that may look like for you this morning, and follow along, or just close your eyes and listen to what God may say to you through these that I read. John 14, 22 through 24. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, "Lord, how is it that you will reveal yourself to us and not to the world?" Jesus answered him, "Those who love me will keep my word, and my Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but is from the Father who sent me." May God bless the reading of God's word. So a question this morning to consider as we approach the Lord's table. Have you ever felt like you have worked hard for a lost cause? Perhaps a person, maybe a task, a family member, your neighborhood, your profession, someone or something in your life in which you had lost all hope. Who or what comes to mind? We all have those lost causes in our lives. And today's disciple, one of the first of the Jesus people, was known as the saint of lost causes. And we'll take a look at his life this morning and how we might learn better how to walk with Jesus. Thaddeus, or Judas, not Iscariot, the other Judas. Thaddeus picked up the causes none of the other disciples would. Causes that appeared too insignificant, perhaps a waste of their precious time. He wasn't too concerned about his image or how he might look if he asked a question of Jesus. So why were those tasks not a waste of time for a person like Thaddeus? Well, let's start with his name. His name can be translated heart child. How would you like to have a name like that? Heart child. It suggests that Thaddeus had a tender and a childlike heart. He was full of compassion and empathy. He was caring and sweet-spirited. We could all hope for such a perspective in life and with other people and in all circumstances to have that kind of heart. As a result, to him, there was no such thing as a lost cause. In our passage that I just read, Jesus is promising them his Holy Spirit to guide them when he leaves them, to lead them, to empower them when he moves on from the earth. The verse before in 14:19 of John, it says, "In a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live." How often the disciples must have been confused by Jesus' words. He talks about dying, then he talks about living. And can you imagine what the disciples are thinking and what must be going on in their heads? To be honest, I think we'd all be kidding ourselves if we said we have a full understanding of exactly what Jesus is saying here. And there are 2,000 years of theologians and biblical scholars who have tried to give us help to figure out what these words mean, and there's still not total agreement on that. So imagine what the disciples are thinking when they hear it for the first time from Jesus' lips. And they're afraid, like we often are, to appear ignorant in front of Jesus. Perhaps he's saying these things and they're smiling and nodding as if they understood, convincing themselves that they understand what Jesus is saying and wanting to move quickly into that. But then enter Thaddeus. We all know a Thaddeus. As is written in our passage today, Judas, not Iscariot, he in his gentle spirit says this. While all the other disciples are smiling and nodding, he says, "Lord, how is it that you will reveal yourself to us and not the world?" Here we see his tender heart, his tender heart, his humility. He doesn't say anything brash. He doesn't say anything bold or overconfident as we are used to seeing from many of the other disciples. This question is filled with curiosity, kindness, gentleness, meekness, humility, and vulnerability. It's actually a model for us in regard to how we should question, communicate, and commune with others. On this day, we take communion. Thaddeus simply could not understand how it could be that Jesus would reveal himself to such a ragtag group of people and not to the whole world. I mean, after all, Jesus was Savior of what? The world. Didn't make sense to Thaddeus. And why didn't we have all the same questions when we read Jesus' words here? Did we not have those same questions, perhaps, when we read this for the first time? Why would Jesus say such a thing? What exactly does Jesus mean? Jesus was the rightful heir of the world, King of kings, Lord of lords, with the good news of forgiveness, grace, love. This was for the entire world, not just the disciples. Puzzling. We can be thankful for Thaddeus, because without him we may not know more behind those words. He wanted to know what we all want to know when we read these words. We all want to see Jesus make himself known to everyone. We all hope that everyone in this earth, on this planet, will see God's kingdom come. And because of Thaddeus' question, Jesus elaborates a little more. "Those who love me will keep my word, and my Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them." The answer to Thaddeus' question? Christ would manifest himself to anyone who loves him and anyone who would follow him. You see, Thaddeus and the rest of the disciples were still thinking in the political and the material realm, thinking, "How come you haven't taken over the world yet? You are the Messiah. Why don't you just go ahead and manifest yourself to everyone now? What's the wait for? Isn't that what a Messiah does?" We do the same thing today. And Jesus' response to Thaddeus' question meant, "I'm not going to take over the world externally the way you imagine. I'm going to take possession of hearts, one by one, one heart at a time, and I'm going to do it with your help." What a powerful question to ask of Jesus. Thaddeus was humble and, dare I say, courageous. A wonderful paradox that we might learn to live into. Enough to ask because he didn't understand without feeling embarrassed. We often don't ask because we don't want to be judged as ignorant by others of Christ followers. So we miss out, perhaps, on finding more about what Jesus is saying to us or how we might follow Jesus. Most of the early tradition texts suggest that Thaddeus went on after Jesus' resurrection to Edessa, or today what is Turkey. He took up many lost causes there, one after the other, including numerous accounts of how he healed King Abgar, which was considered a lost cause. And he indeed healed him through the power of Christ. And later on, he was bludgeoned to death by a club for his faith in Jesus, like all the other disciples. He followed Jesus faithfully to the end, and his story is as powerful and far-reaching as any of the other disciples, but in a much more ordinary way. So, what can we learn this morning by examining the life of Thaddeus in light of observing the Lord's Supper as we commune together, as we take communion? First, we can learn that God uses perfectly ordinary people in remarkable ways. We see this over and over again in Scripture, but we don't like to believe it. We often compare ourselves to others, thinking we could never live up to such marvelous people of faith, whether those people be in the pages of Scripture or sitting down the aisle of the pew next to you. But comparing our faith to others is not a very healthy approach with our faith. As we've seen with the disciples, we all bring something unique and special that God can use to transform this world one heart at a time. So when you feel less worthy than someone else that seems to have more faith than you, think of Thaddeus. God uses perfectly ordinary people in remarkable ways. The next thing I think we can learn is that there is a need and there is room for saints, with a little s, for saints of lost causes. Saints that are willing to take up their lives, to live humbly, to pursue tasks that are ordinary, tasks that are mundane, and tasks that seem to be lost causes. They're never lost causes for Jesus. Jesus gives us a parable that describes as such. Think of the parable of the persistent widow who took up the cause, the lost cause, for justice. Justice always seems to be a lost cause in our world. That's why it will always exist. There are not enough of us who follow Christ, who are willing to get dirty, who are willing to hang with it, to stay tough, to remain patient and persistent in those causes. And is it a lost cause if we have breathed just one breath of Christ into it? And finally, as we approach the Lord's table of communion together, Thaddeus is a model for us in regard to how we question, how we communicate, and how we commune with God and with others. To ask Jesus to elaborate, to approach others with a kind and compassionate and childlike heart, a heart with courage, even if they are a lost cause to us. So consider these things as we prepare for the Lord's Supper together. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the life of Thaddeus that is not mentioned much in Scripture, but sure does tell us a lot about how we might approach you and others and our faith and living that out. I pray, God, that you would convict us of what we need this morning in regard to lost causes, in regard to communing with others, in regard to our life with you. Convict us, challenge us to move in a new way. Grow us to become more like you, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to have a hymn of invitation. It's going to be hymn number 457. We'll sing stanzas 1 and 2. I'll be standing here. If you would like to make a decision public, come forward and I will share that with you. If not, you can make your decision there in the pew. And allow God to change you and move you and transform you. Let's stand together and sing.